I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And we're trying a few new things this week. For instance, I have a wireless lavalier mic. This is the body pack for the wireless lavalier mic. It's an Audio-Technica. It's one I've had for quite a while. However, I'm trying it now with this new headset. Fresh from China. And of course, my light goes out. It always goes out in the middle of a show. How cool is that? Anyway, I'll show you the light that went out just for jollies. It is a Ring light. See, it actually does work, but it goes out when the battery gets low, and that's what happens is the battery gets low. It charges up. Anyway, it is also from China. I'm not casting any aspersions on China. This mic actually works rather well. The any weirdness you hear in my voice is due to my nose being stuffy. It's not the microphone's fault. The microphone only has so much to work with. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. We are also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. Oh, boy. So this is an auspicious start to the show. I'm also trying weird lighting. My light is over this way and over that way, out of the way, so my face is lit kind of from the side. Then I have another one over here. You say, Dr. Bill, how many lights does it take? As many as I could get. That's the one thing about shooting video, is you need lots of light. I kind of wish this one was working the way it's supposed to, because it puts light on your face like that. Kind of looks like I'm scanning something. Anyway, see, it went out again, even though I didn't turn it off. Let me turn it off. It's easy to be a curmudgeon when you have so many things that go freaky on you. Yes, Fred. I know something about freakiness. Yes. Anyway, we have a show. And the show this week, we're starting out with a personal-ish thing. And that is, oh, you notice I don't have my hat. It's because I finally got my hair to behave. My hair has been very unruly. And I got it working this morning. I shampooed it, you know, and combed it back, and it's behaving. So I'm not touching it. Yes. No, Fred, it's not that I'm vain. It's just that I relish my hair being presentable. It's rare. Anyway. No, but this is a little personal, kind of a side-ish personal thing. And that is, as you may know, or not, I don't know. You may know that I am the maintainer of an open source project called DIRCaster. D-I-R-C-A-S-T-E-R, DIRCaster. What DIRCaster does is it allows you to broadcast, so to speak, via an RSS feed from a directory. Therefore, DIRCaster. See how that works? Clever. Anyway, I've been maintaining this project since, 2014-ish, thereabouts. Anyway, This is to announce the release to the latest version. It is Dirtcaster.9K. Now, it's been .9 sub-letter for some time. And you say, why don't you go ahead and go to 1.0? Because 1.0 implies that it's no longer beta. And I'm kind of thinking this is still slightly beta, although I use it for production stuff. This is what I use to do the RSS feeds for my shows and for the Roku and many other things. Now, I use PowerPress, which is an excellent WordPress plugin for my WordPress sites. I do use that, but for what you might call pure RSS feeds that aren't connected to WordPress in any way, I still use Dirtcaster. And there's a lot of interest in Dirtcaster. There's a lot of people out there using it. So if you want more information, you can go to the website, dirtcaster.org, as it says there on the lower third of the screen, and check out Dirtcaster. There's even a tutorial that I wrote that has screenshots and everything. It's what I call a PhD document, Point Here Dummy. Shows you how to use it. So, go forth and cast from directories. Yes. Oh, speaking of lower thirds, I would be remiss if I did not mention that the blog from which we discuss things is the Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon blog, which is at drbill.tv, drbill.tv. As it says there on the screen. Yes, indeed. So check that out. These are all items from that blog. First item, Amazon pays $1 billion for Ring. Now, you remember Ring. You probably see the commercials, lots of Ring doorbell commercials, where you have J.B. Siminoff, the inventor of Ring, and... oh, the big hulking guy that he has as his sidekick on the commercials. I can't think of his name. He's very famous. Huh? Yes, Shaq. Shaq. I knew. See, my wife reminded me because I was picturing him. I saw him in my mind's eye. I just could not come up with his name. Shaq. Shaquille O'Neal. Thus, Shaq. I don't know why I couldn't think of his name. Well, Fred, maybe so, but I'm the host of the show and you're the imaginary friend, so just kind of deal with it. I'm really in a curmudgeonly mood, as you can tell. Anyway, Shaq and J.B. Siminoff, hey, I remember the inventor's name. That's pretty good. Anyway, they do the Ring commercials, and they're kind of fun. I like those commercials, but he was originally on Shark Tank, and at that time they called it the DoorBot, which is not that cool of a name. I like Ring better. Ring has a better ring to it. Get it? yes. Well, anyway, so, but the Sharks did not invest at all in Jamie and his company when he started it. But he made it on his own. And now, here's Amazon buying him out for $1 billion. Which I say, more power to him. I like that. Yes, the American dream. It's the way it should be. Okay, next item, rumor. This is a rumor. Now, let's discuss what a rumor is. A rumor does not mean it is true. A rumor means that somebody's wishful thinking... is that it is true. So there. This is a rumor that there is a new MacBook Air in the works. Apple is reportedly planning to release a cheaper is the key word here, MacBook Air later this year. They expect it will be a 13-inch MacBook Air with a lower price point than the original MacBook Air. The original MacBook Air, or the current one, however you want to look at it, sells for $999. The idea is to be cheaper than that, which is nice, I gotta admit. However, it's not like I'm gonna buy one. I have a MacBook Pro that is awesome. I don't need a MacBook Air. For like computers, however, I have, I'm out of frame when I do that, but that's okay. I have my trusty Chromebook Flip. And this is the latest, greatest version of the small version of the Chromebook Flip, which is, let me get my glasses here so I can read it, which is the C101PA. Yes. Yes, I wear glasses when I read. Reading glasses. They're not prescription. I have prescription ones, but those were not them. Those were just regular readers. But I love my Chromebook. It's light. It's easy to use. It does what I need it to do. Dude. And I got it for Christmas. Just like the last one that I got for Christmas some time back. But this new one has a USB-C port, which I like. And it's got a faster processor, and it's got a better screen, and so forth. But other than that, the form factor is the same. So I digress quite a bit there. But I'm just saying I don't need a MacBook Air because I have a light laptop-ish computer that I use. And you say, yeah, but it's not a MacBook. No, but I have a MacBook, so I'm good. You know, and my wife would tell you, don't tell him he needs to buy any more stuff. I mean, it's not like I'm hurting for stuff. I have stuff. Anyway, Amazon, and this is another item. Amazon to stop selling Nest. Now, these product wars are getting a little silly. First, Amazon won't sell Googly stuff, and Google won't sell Amazon-y stuff. And now Amazon is saying, well, we're not going to sell the Nest. So there. But, I mean, to be fair, they are buying Ring. And Nest is the direct competitor for Ring. So, okay, I can kind of see that. But there you go. Now, I unplugged Alexa so that I could talk to you about Alexa. Not really. I also unplugged Alexa because I needed the outlet for my camera. There's only so many outlets. You know what I'm saying? I got a lot of stuff, like I said. Anyway, Alexa really did lose her voice recently, but only briefly. The reason is that the Amazon Web Services went down. Oops. That's bad. It's not supposed to go down. I know, because that's where all the videos I do are in the cloud on Amazon. So that ain't good. But it was brief. It was a brief outage. And Amazon's digital assistant Alexa went quiet Friday. This is last Friday. In an unintended real-world reproduction of the company's Super Bowl ad. You remember the Super Bowl ad where Alexa lost her voice? Well, a regional outage impacting Amazon servers led to Alexa becoming unresponsive on Echo products and other devices that support the assistant. The author here, Chris Welch with The Verge, said, I tried a simple weather inquiry on the Echo Dot in my living room, and the signature blue ring stayed lit for about 15 seconds, but didn't answer. A tone eventually sounded, and Alexa said it had lost connection. Subsequent attempts also failed, producing a red ring, accompanied by Alexa asking me to try again later. By mid-afternoon, Alexa had returned to normal and was responding to voice commands again. The issue was likely tied to troubles today, as he wrote this article, with Amazon Web Services. Slack and other applications that depend on Amazon Web Services as a backbone experienced outages as well, which also means that my videos were not available for a while as well. Hopefully, somebody noticed. One can only hope. Anyway, next item. Moving right along. Dropbox is partnering with Google for G Suite integration. As you may or may not know, G Suite is Google's Office Suite. It's their Word, Excel, and PowerPoint-like web-based tools that they now call G Suite. And Dropbox is going to add native G Suite integration by having a new partnership with Google, which to me is good news. From my perspective, it's about time. Now, you have to buy into G Suite, so there's that. But still, it would be a useful addition to the googly world. No! That drum roll is letting us know there's a Geek Software of the Week. However, it is a Geek Software of the Week for Linux. And actually, it's not even just Software of the Week, it's a whole operating system. Yes. Okay, so I'm stretching it a bit in terms of Geek Software of the Week. Sorry about that. But anyway, it's still cool. You ought to check it out. As a matter of fact, check out this screenshot. Let me move out of the way just a little so you can see the full screenshot. You see that? Does that screenshot look familiar? That looks just like Windows, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, that's the purpose of this Linux-based operating system, Q4OS. Sounds like a Star Wars droid. Q4OS. But that is the name of the operating system. And here's what they say about themselves on their website. A fast and powerful operating system based on the latest technologies while offering highly productive desktop environment. We focused on security, reliability, long-term stability, and conservative integration of verified new features. Interesting turn of phrase there. The system is distinguished by speed and very low hardware requirements, so it'll be functional on low-end hardware. Runs great on brand new machines as well, of course, as well as on legacy computers. It's also very applicable for virtualization and cloud computing. Get professional support for your business. The team behind Q4OS is ready to provide any kind of system customization, including core-level API programming as well as user interface modifications. They're flexible folks over there. You can contact them for any kind of commercial support by writing them at support@q4os.org. It says, we are currently seeking business partners to accelerate development in order to build the perfect operating system for professional use. Their goal is to replace Windows in businesses with this Linux desktop and ease the transition for knowledge workers in the environments by making it look like, kind of like XP, Windows Vista, kind of like a transition between those two operating systems. So Windows-like, but it looks pretty cool. I downloaded the ISO, which of course is free. It's open source. And I tried it under VirtualBox, and I was pretty impressed. It was pretty cool looking. So check it out. It's worthwhile. Last item. People continue to cut the cord. This is a cord cutter update. This is from Digital Trends, which is a website, and Mark Alston is the author. He says, cord cutting, if you haven't done it yourself yet, you probably know someone who has. The number of people who said goodbye to their cable or satellite TV packages and their monthly bill just hit another new record. And telecom companies are floundering as they try to cope with this new reality. Fortune's analysis of recent reports from Moffitt Nathanson Research concluded that more than 500,000 subscribers cut the cord in the fourth quarter last year alone. The 3.4% decline in the number of pay TV subscribers is the highest since 2010. For all distributors, this is mostly just varying degrees of bad. Craig Moffett noted in the report, 2018 will likely be a breakout year for streaming services. As BGR summarized, Sling TV leads the pack with 2.2 million subscribers. Hulu's live streaming has about 450,000 subscribers, and YouTube TV boasts more than 300,000 subscribers, according to CNBC. Customers of the five top internet TV providers has more than doubled from 2 million in 2016 to nearly 4.6 million at the end of 2017. Cord cutting is becoming a big, big trend. And I am still looking at it. I'm this close. Matter of fact, back behind me there is my official HDTV exterior antenna that is motorized, that rotates 360 degrees, and it looks like that. There's the picture of it. And, dude, I'm looking forward to getting that set up. I am not currently in the position to be able to climb up on top of the roof, so I'm probably going to get my brother-in-law to help me, because he's a nice guy, and maybe I can bribe him with a trip to Chili's or something, or a milkshake or something. But at any rate, I hope to get it up and hook it into... See, here's my plan. Let me tell you my devious master plan. Yes. That is that I used to have DirecTV back in the day. So there's a DirecTV dish up on my roof. And there's a cable coming out of that dish that still goes down into my utility room downstairs from here and is tied into the entire cable system throughout the house. Okay? So there's already a splitter there. There's already amplified cable there. There's already all of that. And then there's a cable that's already run out through the roof to the DirecTV dish, which is on like a little post off of the roof. So here's what I want to do. I want to take the dish off, disconnect the cable, put the new HDTV antenna in its place with the motor, hook the cable into that, and that one single coax cable has the electricity running through it to power the motor to turn it, the 360-degree turning, and then you put the control unit down here in the living room, and then you got a little bitty remote, not this one, but something similar to it, that you would use to control the spinning of the HDTV. And from what I've seen of other people that have installed this thing, it's 150-mile range. Dude. And based on my location, I ought to be getting a ton of channels. And they're all going to be crystal clear digital channels. Dude. So that's going to make it easier to cut the cord. The only thing I've got to work out is I got to have a DVR. So I'm looking at Tableau as a possibility for that. And I've got to be able to get the other cable channels, which, oh, I've got a demo for you. You got to see this. This is a new package. You know, I've already shown you Leon Flix. I showed you Terrarium TV. I showed you several things that allow you to see movies and such cable channels cheaply. Set TV was one that was $20 a month. Well, here's one that's only $5 a month. I know, $5. I mean, come on. And they have a $1 special introductory thing. You try it for a month for a dollar. $1. And they don't charge you after that dollar. So it's not like if you give them a dollar, they're immediately going to start charging you after that. Okay, this is strictly a trial. And it's called, are you ready for this? Area 51. How cool is that? I think it comes from England, though, because they spell favorite as favorite, with extra letters in there. So I think they're probably from the good old UK. But at any rate, Area 51. Cool. So check out this demo right now. All right, gang, here we are on my Android box. This is an MXR Pro Android box that's connected to my TV. And I'm actually using the camera to shoot the video directly from the TV screen. So I apologize for any lack of quality because of that. As you can see, we have lots of icons here. I'll just run through the top row. We got Chrome, calculator. And then here's Area 51, which is what I want to show you. We already have it hooked up, installed, obviously. I didn't want to go through the whole install. There's plenty of videos online that show you how to install Area 51. And by the way, if you'd like to try Area 51, as usual, there is an affiliate link. And if you use the affiliate link, then I'll get brownie points. And you know I like brownie points. So if you would use the affiliate link that you see on the lower part of your screen right now, I would greatly appreciate it if you want to try Area 51. So now, I'll give you that link, by the way, in the show notes and so forth. So don't worry about scrambling to write it down now. You'll be able to get it off of the show notes either on YouTube or on the drbill.tv website. So there you go. All right, so let's go into Area 51. Here is the screen. Now, as I say, this screen, this is a shot of my TV screen, so it's not super aligned and super clear, but, you know, hey, it's kind of the best I could do shooting the TV screen. I wanted to install it directly on the TV. We've got live TV up here at the top, and then we have live TV with guide. The guide is really interesting. If we go into the guide, you can actually see networks down here. And the line shows you where we are in time currently. The line is maybe hard to see for you, but it's basically on the first third of the screen. Like right here is a show I've got highlighted called Sister Wives. It's right at the front of that is where we're at. So basically that would be coming on next. But if I scroll down here, you can see all the networks and what's on all of those networks, which is pretty cool. So I'm going to go back on up here to the top, and here's what I find interesting. You know, I've talked before about how much I like the Canadian network called Space. Well, here it is, Canadian Space, and this Space Channel has all kinds of cool science fiction and Stargate and just lots of neat stuff. So really neat to have that. Of course, like I said, live TV. And then you also have video on demand. If you click video on demand, they have what they call their Area 51 exclusives, which is the screen we're on right now. And if we go down here, you can see here is Thor Ragnarok in 1080. Thor Ragnarok in 720, the new Blade Runner movie, all kinds of movies here. Basically, they're the ones that they have kind of highlighted as their exclusives. And then you have different collections. And these are basically just collections of different movie channels and movies that are available. And you have favorites. That's why I was talking about favorites spelled the British fashion. So I assume that it is a British service. And then if we go all the way up to, let me go into the mode where I can use my arrow here and go all the way up to the corner. This is what they call the hamburger menu because of the three lines on top of each other. And basically, this would take you to home, live TV, TV with guide, and the account info, video on demand, which is where we are now. So I'm going to go into live TV. And let's go up here and go, let's see, let me take it out of button mode and go back to, there we go. Go back to, I'm now in button mode, but anyway. We got into use, that's what I was after. There's the Weather Channel, different local channels, and down here is Fox News Channel. Now, I'm going to jump into Fox News Channel right quick and turn off the sound on my TV for copyright reasons. Now, this loaded a little quicker when I didn't have the IPVanish VPN on, and I also don't have it connected directly to my network. So, but once it does load, because I'm using VPN, it was a little slow, you can see how clear it is. It really is sharp and clear, and the VPN is dragging my performance a little bit, but I wanted to experiment with the VPN, and I left it on, so there you go. But at any rate, this is Area 51 TV, and I'm really impressed with the guide. When you first load the guide, it actually loads a file down of the guide. I think you could go forward in time. I don't think you could go back in time. No, you can't. You can only see basically what's live at the moment. But let's go down here and trying to find something. It's a typical thing. There's Last Man Standing. This is on Kosher Music Network. The old thing of, 500 channels, in this case, almost 900 channels and nothing on. But at any rate, this is a commercial. So that should be relatively safe for us as far as copyright goes. But I'm going to jump out of here. So there you go, Area 51, $5 a month per device that you are showing it on. So if you want to show it in your living room and in your bedroom, that would be $10 a month because you're showing it on two different devices. But that means that each device could be watching a different channel. So somebody could be watching something in the bedroom while you're watching something in the living room. Or if you watch TV together, you could just go with $5 a month. So that's pretty much how it works. But that is Area 51 and an interesting system that I think has a pretty slick interface. So there we go. Now, I've got other things installed here. I've got TTV and I've got Terrarium TV, as well as the typical things, YouTube and so forth, here on the MXR Pro Android box. This Android box, by the way, was only about $35. It's a great deal because it's a pretty recent version of Android. I think it's version 7 dot something, and 8 is the very, very most latest version, so pretty up to date, and works very, very well, very fast, plenty of memory. So I encourage you to check into the MXR Pro. It's a good way to go to get Android television. So we'll jump back into the show now. So see, what do you think of that? That's pretty cool. Now, if it does everything that it claims to do for only $5 a month, from my perspective, I'll be set. I'll have all the local stuff coming through the HDTV. I'll have DVR for that. And then have Area 51 for all the other stuff that I need, like the cable channels. So, that's kind of a rough master plan. Whether I do it or not, that'll depend on the phase of the moon. I don't know. I haven't pulled the trigger. You know what I'm saying? So hang in there and see if Dr. Bill pulls the trigger on this nutty plan to cut the cord. But I am leaning that way very strongly. It would save me roughly $65 a month, which of course would be splendid and worthwhile, this is a big assumption, assuming that my internet bill wouldn't go up, because right now it's all bundled. I've got phone and cable and internet all bundled into one bill. So that $65 for the TV is just part of that. Know what I'm saying? So it depends on what they say. If I call up North State and they say they're going to charge me $11 million for internet, if I take away the package, then I'll just go, eh, I'll just keep what I got. But, you know, if they say, we could break it out and you could just use the internet part, then I'm probably going for it. I still have to do some research. So, more as it happens. Stay tuned to find out what happens in this amazing experiment. The other thing is, I want to thank a new patron. We have a new patron from Patreon.com. I encourage you all that are watching this show to become patrons, because it will give us the financial wherewithal to do stuff. And stuff is fun. And even if it's just getting in stuff like the HDTV antenna or something like that, that's worthwhile, because then I can try it, I can work through all the bugs, and then let you know how it all works out. So isn't that a good idea? So become a patron of the show at patreon.com/Dr. Bill. Don't slash Dr. Bill. I don't need to be slashed. No, but it's a little whack thing. Don't whack me either, actually. Anyway, the point is, it's up on the screen. Patreon.com, Dr. Bill. Do that. I appreciate it. And that'll do it for now. We'll see you next time. Remember, until then, that the doctor is out of here.
Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.